The Alpha Sessions with Emma Joyce.
Well, I'm Emma, and we're doing a very special Alpha Sessions today with Lucy Ray and Philip Kerber. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for coming down to the show.
No, thanks for having us.
Pleasure.
I wanted to start with you, Lucy, because this is quite funny, because you're normally a host on the Alpha Sessions.
Indeed.
But we're swapping the chairs over today.
Yeah.
Do you prefer being interviewed, or do you like doing the interview?
I feel like I should say I prefer being interviewed, but I actually really I like interviewing as well. Because it's not just that I ask questions, like you end up just having a chat. People ask you questions back because they can't help it. But especially because we talk before and then they know that I do music as well. So then it just naturally happens. So either way, it's just like having a nice chat, really.
What for you makes a good interview?
Makes a good interview?
Yeah.
Somebody who doesn't talk too much.
Okay.
Are you taking tips right now?
Yeah.
As we go along?
I'm writing them down.
Somebody doesn't talk too much, but I like questions that are about the creative process.
Okay.
Not that are about too much, just about life in general. Because some interviews, they only talk about fun things that you do, like fun things that you enjoy or that you do in your spare time. And sometimes that's nice because you want to learn about the person. But on shows like this, where you want to find out about independent music and stuff, it's just cool to ask about like the gritty questions.
Okay, writing down a creative
process. Thank you.
Any particular highlights from the sessions that you've recorded here with other artists?
Oh, God.
Where do you even begin with that question?
When I recorded Sayonese, the second time, when she came in with the full band, and they had Adrian and Hux in as well, and it was just mayhem the whole time. I left that day feeling like I'd run a marathon, but it's... Yeah, the mayhem. I like the mayhem.
But buzzing at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So noisy and creative process. Those are the two words I've taken, or three words I've taken from this.
I mean, noisy is like the opposite of what I am as well. I think that's why I like it, though, because then I don't have to put any effort into being really hyper if the other person is hyper. So that's your job for the day. That's Philip's job for the day.
Yeah.
Or being hyper.
Being the hype man.
Okay.
Go crazy.
Well, you know, that's exactly what I am. It's exactly how I am. Yeah. No, it's not.
Because Philip, it's your first time on the After Sessions, isn't
it? Yeah.
But we actually met on a gig, I think,
A
few months ago.
Yeah.
So we had that weird, like, you're familiar, but I can't quite figure out where from situation. Yeah. Well, it's really good to have you on the show.
Oh, very nice to be here.
And I'm excited to chat about your special release, which we're going to be talking about very soon. But before we do, I wanted to ask if you've learned anything from chatting to other artists, Lucy.
A lot, a lot. Actually, just in terms of network, in terms of people.
Yeah.
I've learned that I know a lot more people than I think as well, because when they come in, they talk about somebody that they know from a completely different scenario, and I already know that person, and then we end up...
Is it like a musical 6 degrees of separation?
Yeah, I suppose.
I'm thinking of, the Facebook analogy of, the friends in common thing. Is it very much like that?
It is like that. But also, I feel like... I think I know more people than I do as well, equally. Because I see someone and I feel like I've already met them. But it's just that I know them through this, or through seeing them live, or through a person that I know that they also know and I've never met. But it's a social media thing, because you feel like you know everyone, because you see them all the time.
But you watch their reels or whatever.
And they just pop up all the time, and then you imagine that you already know them when you meet them, and they have no idea who you are. It's crushing. Yeah.
But we are at the same time building an Alpha Sessions little community, so I think that helps to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm. It's a good network. I love this community.
Yeah,
so wholesome.
Absolutely. Okay, so we got you back today to talk about your brand new track, Heartbeat Wipers, which I've just heard you play live for the very first time, and I'm still trying to sort out the goosebumps on my arm. It was amazing.
Thanks.
It's a very powerful track, both in lyrics and production. What came first?
I recorded some... Windscreen Wipers,
Which
is hence the title, Heartbeat Wipers, because it's just ages ago now. I didn't realise it was so long ago, but I was looking back through my voice notes, and it's like a 10-15 second thing, a capture of the wipers, in an Uber in Dalston when it was raining really heavily and I was in traffic in July last year.
Hang on, did the Uber know that you were recording his windscreen wipers or her windscreen wipers?
I should probably find them and credit them.
I was going to say, if they knew, did they find it a bit weird?
I feel like they should be honoured, to be honest. They should just be like, that's my Uber. But yeah, it was torrential rain and it was so silent in there, and because we were just sitting in a traffic queue. And I was just listening to it, and they're very rhythmic. But the rain was also really loud on the roof, so it made it for a nice sample. I took it back home, and I threw it into GarageBand, because that's all I have at the moment. And I played a little acoustic riff over the top, which is the do-do-do-do, which is now, which we played today on the acoustic, on that very guitar, that's why I recorded it on. And wrote the first two verses, and immediately after writing the two verses, knew that it was a song to write with Philip, because, it just made sense.
How did you know?
I imagine, sometimes when you start writing something, and I imagine people have this as well, where you know, you kind of have a foresight where you can see what it's going to be, what you want it to be. You can see what you want it to be. And I could just hear a lot of things. But then I didn't know what direction to take it after the big section at the beginning, after the first two verses, that's just me going, bah, and all the vocals come in. From that moment, I got a bit stuck. Hmm. And I felt like it's just Philip's thing. It's just his thing.
Is it?
He's making, yeah, it's just thing. Oh. Making, if that's the sound that I imagine... It needed from me.
That's the Philip sound.
It's the Philip sound. Oh, okay. And so I sent it over and said, do this thing. And then we did the thing.
And then you said, okay, cool.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
Thankfully.
I really liked it. I really liked the... I really like starting songs with these kinds of samples, you know. Mm. The Heartbeat Wipers sample from the Uber, and also the guitar, right, that we both ended up using just like that in the song. I mean, the wipers are basically kick and snare in a way, right? It comes in throughout the song, and yeah, kind of informed the production, the kind of the sound of the whole song in a way, right?
Yeah,
it was kind of it sets the mood, so we had to go with that kind of vibe.
Yeah,
which I really think really helped.
I guess with samples, because they have background noise, like the rain makes it. They just have this white noise going on. But also, I think I recorded the guitar not into my laptop. I recorded it onto a voice note. Mm. So they were both voice notes that I then put in, and they were different times. So I had to cut the Heartbeat Wipers up and lined up the guitar with it. Mm. And it was kind of messy.
It is messy.
That's the mess that informed the production that you're talking
about.
That's
good, though. You know, it's a good mess. Yeah.
All mess is a good mess. They're part of the creative process.
It's rough around the edges.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that, though.
But it makes it more raw, I think, the whole thing.
Yeah, it makes it real somehow. It's also, 'cause sometimes in production you search for a certain vibe, a certain mood, a certain kind of, something organic. So if you have something like this that just works, it's perfect, to be honest, because you don't really need to change it, you know? So that's really how the song started and how, that was cool. Yeah, it's cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
That's the conclusion. It was cool.
It was cool. Talk us through the themes of the track. Obviously, it's a deeply authentic and personal track. Talk to us about what it's about.
Well, it was kind of, as many people know, I had a breakup, and it was quite... It didn't feel like a big breakup because we're still very close. And it still feels... That's why, to sort of make it a short story... The hook line is same goodbye a million times, because it's like we haven't really left each other, and it changes all the time, our personal relationship. But it was like, I think at the time I didn't really process it because we were still together all the time, and it wasn't like a normal breakup where you can grieve and you can move on and sort of feel everything and then move on with your life. And I had to find a way of getting all of those feelings out there, because they're still happening. I still had the usual breakup feels. So it's like an alternative breakup song, I feel, because it's not normal, and it's about how abnormal it was, but how I had all the normal feelings, but because those two situations don't go together, the feelings were normal but the situation wasn't. It was like I couldn't process it normally. Everything was in the wrong place. So this was like organizing all of those things so that I could sort of get over it in my own way. But I wrote this months and months, when we started working on it after that happened. So the breakup actually happened between like March and May, all of the major events. But then we were writing this in the winter, in November, and sort of October, November, December, and January, every week. And by that point, I think it was the perfect time to start writing it, because by that point, I'd already gone through a lot of different phases of the year, where I'd moved through lots of different forms of myself, and then I was ready to sort of get it all out there. Yeah. And it had all been stored away as well.
You wrote these lyrics so quickly, I remember.
I know, because they were in there somewhere. Yeah.
So has it been enough time for it to have been a cathartic process, or was it still quite fresh?
Yeah, it didn't feel fresh anymore. But in a way, that's the thing with it. That's the whole reason the song is the way it is because it's fresh every time. Mm. And I think it's always going to be like that for the rest of my life, because of just the way we are. It's always going to feel fresh, I think.
Where you lay, there's a few.
It's a sharpness underneath, like a breath through broken teeth. Stow it away while I'm sleeping. But I'm fashioned out of clay, and I stay here as the days go by. You. Softer than a melody in the night, you come back for more. You are the water seeping through the cracks, the wolf watching the door. Pull the knife out, let it flow, just to be sure. I said I didn't want you, but that's who I was before. Know that I'm falling away to the side. No, you couldn't know what it's like. I'm estranged in your eyes. Golden light filling the gaps from the outside. It's the same goodbye a million times and tracing down to find the edge of the line, I fall at your door. The more I try to get it right, the less I can be sure. Pull the knife that's set in stone, break through the fold, and bury all the pieces here to stop them getting old. Know that I'm falling away to the sideline. No, you couldn't know what it's like. I'm estranged in your eyes. Golden light filling the gaps from the outside. It's the same goodbye a million times and I. 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 And I and I and I and I and I. And I and I and I and I and I. Right where you lay, there's a feeling. It's a sharpness underneath, like a breath through broken teeth.
The Alpha Sessions with Emma Joyce.
Did you find that that process was almost like therapeutic?
Yeah, it was definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Especially because working, sometimes when you work with someone and you're not on the same path, or you have different ideas and they clash a lot, and we had moments where we both had different thoughts.
Yeah.
That the other one was like, no, I just don't think that's it.
Yeah.
The whole end part,
yeah,
which is meant to be all of that emotion coming out,
yeah,
where it builds up, we had to redo that.
Yeah.
Four or five times. Yeah. I think four times, three or four times, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it was just never big enough. It was never like, never got it all out there.
Yeah.
But that's meant to be the cathartic bit.
Yeah.
And then we did it the last time in the studio in Hendon.
Mm.
And just scrapped it, like started, yeah, from the bottom, scrapped it. And that, I think, wow, that's the good thing about doing this kind of work in this way. If you, yeah, just work every week, it's very organic. You can just scrap things and be like, you know what, you've got to be brutal with it. If it doesn't feel, yeah, right, because you know that it's all, you're working off feelings the whole way. If it doesn't feel right, you just start
it's
again.
It's a very difficult thing to do, you know.
I love doing,
but
things
I,
like
it
that.
Was easier doing it together, to be honest.
Yeah.
If I work on my own ideas on my own, then I rarely ever do that. Which is probably, it's not a good thing, you know? You kind of sometimes need to just start new, you know, start fresh with the same idea.
Is it harder to be brutal when the song has such personal themes?
I think it's easier for me. Yeah, yeah. It's easier because I know.
Yeah.
I can just know, I can tell, yeah, if I don't like it.
Yeah.
Whereas,
right,
yeah, if you're making something, true, that's not really personal and you're just making some cool music, then it's easier to second guess because you're like, oh, it's kind of nice though. but also I like this other thing, and nothing's passionate enough to
whereas this
sense.
Is more definite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Philip, how did it feel for you when you knew that it was such a personal story? Did you, like, how did it feel for you in terms of, like, going there with Lucy as part of that production process? Because it's quite personal.
Mm. Yeah, it was, I mean, quite honoured, you know? quite honoured to...
it's a trust thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was great, to be honest, to work on such a personal song, because if it means a lot, then you kind of bring your, you know, your top, your A-game, right, in a way.
Well, so, it's definitely an A-game.
Well, thank you very much.
On both sides.
I mean, we wanted to do a song together for a long time,
yeah.
And so I'm just glad it finally happened, and it happened in such a way. It couldn't have been... I mean, it was very rewarding for me, so... Yeah.
Mm.
Couldn't have been better than this, to be honest. Like, I'm very happy about it. So
yeah, sometimes I think that it took this long on purpose because the stuff that we've tried to work on before has never been quite right.
Yeah.
So we just stopped trying to do it for a while.
Yeah. And I think then timing is everything.
Yeah. Yes. And when I knew, when I thought about this one, I was like, I think this is gonna be a good one.
Yeah.
And it just, after all those years, you have a lot more pent up as well, production wise. I think in a personal thing.
But like the whole thing happened quite naturally somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we had a couple of tries over the years to just, you know, make a song together. But this one just, I don't know, just happened quite quickly somehow, and quite organically as well. Every time we met up, we just, you know, we were quite productive. Yeah. Without, you know, trying too hard. We were just kind of hanging out and then working on the song a bit, hanging out, working on the song a bit, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like, you can't kind of, you can't kind of force it like that, right? So it felt very natural, felt good.
Was there an active motivation to when you released the track? Like, was it a light bulb situation where you're like, okay, I'm ready now? Or did it just kind of happen organically?
I kind of, in the past, I've had a habit of rushing things because I'm constantly trying to keep doing stuff, keep moving. And I've balanced that a lot more. So we worked on this for months, but some people work on... I'm used to working on a song for like a whole year.
Yeah, same.
With Better, I worked on it. And yeah, with your Roof Talk songs, I always work on them over a long time. But I think, again, the organic nature of this one made me say, I'm putting the foot down. Because if you keep tweaking, if you keep working on it, it doesn't change for better. It changes, but it doesn't need to. Like, it felt like it was exactly how it's meant to be. It was like taking a photo.
So it was quite clear for you to go, okay, it's done now.
Yeah.
Like, this is ready to go.
Yeah, apart from the end bit. The end bit was when we thought it was kind of there, but we both knew it wasn't quite there.
Yeah.
So we just redid it.
Yeah, but we thought about redoing the vocals a couple of times, but then we tried to just not overthink it because it was kind of done in my bedroom, most of it, even the acoustic guitar, just going through a chorus pedal and that kind of stuff. And
you make it sound so simple.
Well, it was really simple to be honest.
It felt really like everything was meant to be that way.
Yeah, so we didn't want to overthink it, you know, like, okay, let's go into a studio and re-record everything in a better way with better preamps and better desk.
But it didn't
need that at all. But it's sometimes, you know, it takes you a second to realise that in a way.
Keeps the authenticity, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. Did you think that you had to be ready emotionally to release it, or was it a practical thing?
No, it was, I think all of the emotion was through the song.
Yeah.
But I was just, I just felt like when the year began, I didn't have anything planned for the year yet at all. Like, I only had one gig in Winchester that we did in February, and I didn't have any other releases. I had lots of things that I wanted to release, but I didn't have anything set. And it always feels good when you set a boundary.
Yeah.
Because also it's movable, but I tell myself it's not, because then you have something to work towards.
Yeah,
so I think it's because we were redoing the ending a few times, I was starting to think, because we're overthinking, we're getting into that territory of like, we're getting to the end, so maybe we're not done. No, okay, we need to add this new thing.
Yeah.
So I thought, if I put a date there, then we have to work towards it.
Yeah.
That was great. That was a good thing, you know?
Yeah, it's just deadline. Deadlines are really healthy for things like that, because once you know that you've worked on it enough and you think, this is sounding great, we need to start overthinking it.
Yeah.
Put a deadline in, and then it just happens, It all falls into place.
Do you feel a bit like you've left your soul open to the world now?
It does... Mainly for the person in question, it does feel a little bit like I'm on the edge. I'm on the edge, because for both of us, it's personal, but we're very open about everything.
Yeah.
So it feels like we've always been quite open, but now this is out there. Everyone who's been listening and reviewing it and like messaging me about it, it does feel a bit like, for the first time, I think, this is the most personal thing I've ever done. It feels like people are asking me very personal questions, and I have to think for a minute before I answer them, because I'm like, I don't want to. I don't know if I want to say too much.
Yeah, yeah, I get
because that. It's not just me that's affected. You know,
I feel like to me, I get like when you hear the song, particularly for the first time, like you feel that vulnerability, and it's almost like I want to use the word naked, like in a sense of it just feels so raw.
Yeah.
And I think it's so incredible to be able to portray that theme so well amongst the production.
I hope it does. That's kind of what we're going for.
Yeah, 100%.
But lyrically as well, I was kind of like, they all just came out that way. I didn't really think about them. That's how I know that they mean a lot to me. But to people, I think people have asked me a few times already what certain bits mean when they've listened.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting because when they ask me, I'm like, it seems so obvious to me. That's because it's me. That's because it's my own brain. But actually, when I read through the lyrics from like a third person perspective, they are a bit weird. Sometimes a bit cryptic.
I asked you.
Yeah, you asked me a couple
of times.
Yeah.
And was it quite easy for you to just say it how it was?
Yeah. When I thought about it, I was like, yeah, I mean, sort of. Apart from in the chorus, the golden light filling the gaps from the outside. That was an entirely visual thing, which is weird for me as well. I'm usually sort of metaphorical and stuff and poetic, but that one was just like it was like putting a feeling into words, and I don't really know how to describe that feeling apart from in that line. So I find it difficult to sort of answer all of them.
That last line of the song, same goodbye a million times.
Yeah.
It made me want to, like, knowing you as a person, root you out and give you a squidge.
Yeah, that's like the, if I had to put the whole song into one word, into one phrase, that's probably the phrase of the feeling. That's how I put it all into one. But it's just, I don't know how to describe it any other way. It's just like the entirety of how I felt. Mm. It's that because I see this person all the time, you can never really, you can't really break, you can't alter your relationship because you see each other all the time. And also we don't hate each other in any way, which is why it's kind of heartbreaking. And that's, this a million times, because I imagine that it's going to be like that for a long time.
But I feel like a lot of people can listen to the track and relate.
Yeah, I think,
and
also
they would have experienced that something similar. Yeah. Or
you can probably read it as being just the way it feels every time you see someone. Not even if it's not frequent. You could just every time you see them once a year and you just pass by accident, you could feel that way. So I guess it does. Yeah, it probably does relate to that feeling to a lot of people. But for me, it's like every day.
Yeah. I'm feeling like sad now too.
No. This isn't what we want. Look, hype. I said a hype. Bring the hype.
sorry, hype. changing, I guess, the subject a little bit. This is your first co-writes together.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got more in the pipeline?
We did start.
Kind of, we started. Yeah. I mean, we definitely want to.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't know when, don't know what.
Don't know where.
But it's gonna happen. It's going to happen.
I've got a little video I came across in, because we have lots of behind-the-scenes creative bits, which I'm putting out every now and again.
Oh, yeah, I want to see.
And I'm really happy we took those videos.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all down to you, because I never do stuff like that. And every time we did something, you were like, but I just need to put my phone up here and film this.
Yeah, it's annoying a little bit, but you try to do it, right? I mean,
You try to. But in that folder of little bits, I've got a video of you playing some chords, and I'm sitting behind you, and we just, like, recorded a verse or something, really really short snippet, I listened back to it and I thought it was really nice. So I think it's just, at the time we were doing Hubby Wipers, but we ended up just like accidentally going to something else one day, and that'll always be there as a little snippet. And then I think when Hubby Wipers is sort of calmed down a bit and it's out there and it's certain, then we'll probably jump back into that, see what happens.
I'm excited already.
So you released the track on Friday,
mm-hmm.
and it hasn't been that long, and you've already received so many incredible interviews. Can we just go through this a minute? The artist's intimate and stripped back style makes for compelling and powerful listening from the clout. The jazz-soaked sound of Lucy Rose, nothing less than pure bliss. And a paragon of authenticity in London's indie music scene. When you hear, like, amazing stuff like that, how does that make you feel?
That's the first one I read, that a paragon of authenticity, and I was like, is that true? I don't.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you probably get imposter syndrome, I think. When you read things like that, you start to think, like, is that really how people see me? Are they just writing that because they're reviewing me in a nice way, because that's what they do? And I always think that, they have to do that. They have to say things like that. It's like when a family member compliments you, and you're like, you just like me. But it's, I know, I'm trying to be more grounded yeah. and realise that...
More grounded. You're so grounded in a good way.
Really?
Like, yeah. Down to earth in that way.
I try to be.
100%.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Mm. Yeah, with stuff like this. I guess because I don't do it very much. I don't get a lot of... And over the years, it's growing more.
Yeah.
But I spent about 6 weeks almost every night getting in touch with people. And that's the only reason these things are... happening, because you have to push so much, so much, and that's just before the release day. But your question was how it makes me feel. I guess, yeah, when I read it, I was a bit like, imposter. I don't know if that's true.
But it made you happy, right?
But then in the end, yeah, I read back and I was like, wow, that's lovely. Yeah. That is really lovely. Yeah. That people write things like that and they hopefully they feel things like that.
Does it make you feel the pressure that you need to achieve that for the next one?
No, weirdly, no. Okay, I haven't even thought about that. Yeah.
I plant the seed? I'm sorry.
No.
Okay, good.
No, it's all right.
I was just talking about that with a friend yesterday, actually, because he was asking me the same question.
Yeah.
But like, you just can't think about it like that. You have to not think about it like that. Mm. You just need to try to, you know, make some good music again that you're comfortable with, that you feel good about, you know, and that's what you need to focus on, really.
Yeah.
Fun doing music.
Exactly. Really. I don't think of it as a linear thing. Like, sometimes people think too much in releases being in terms of consecutive releases. Mm. They're getting better over time. But it's like, it's not linear at all. You make things that are different all the time, exactly, not better or worse, you know.
The next song will have something else to offer, you know.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Everything will be different and great in its own right, I hope. Yeah. But also, we spend a lot of time making stuff. So if we churned out things over, you know, every month we put something out, I don't feel like I would be comfortable. I don't think I'd make my best music all the time. Yeah. But because we haven't really released anything ever together, it feels like we've put a lot of passion into it.
Mm-hmm.
So good. So not only have you released the track, but you're also going straight into a really busy week of making the video for the track.
Well, the video's ready.
Okay.
The video's ready. I haven't made any of the promotional stuff, which is what takes all the time to say that the video is coming.
Okay.
But, I loved making that video so much. I basically shout out to Max Bandicoot at Goot Studios. It was really cool. I remember I was meant to work with them last year and then it just fell through, like the project entirely. And I put a pin in that. And then when I was going to make a video for this, I thought, I've actually got a budget this time, so I want to make something good. Yeah. And I had a really clear vision of the video being blue and dark and very still. And the whole thing is a slow, gentle zoom, sort of smoky. And it's just, it's again about the feeling of it being mirrored, so there's not a lot of lip syncing, there's not a lot of like symbolism in it, it's all just one thing, and it's a simple concept that I think just completely reflects the song. And I thought he would do that kind of thing really well, so I got in touch with him and immediately just like he understood what I was going for. We had a phone call and I told him about my vision. He was like, I've listened to the track, I'm getting this and this and this, and it just matched everything. So we booked the date for the week after that and just did it. And I was really scared because I thought that there's no time. We haven't talked about anything in detail or like, what if, because it's a lot of money to put in, what if we do it straight away? And then I look back and think, why did I do it so quickly? I rushed into it. But I'm so happy. And Philip came down as well for the shoot and witnessed the event.
Yeah, that's nice.
It was a nice little environment.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
And appreciate you bearing your soul in that way.
Right, I'm getting used to it now. It's going to happen for the rest of my life. I'm going to have to bear more of my soul.
Honestly, I appreciate it so much, just the honesty and the authenticity, both with the song and with the chat as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we look forward to playing the song loads and loads.
I hope so.
Absolutely.
And if you want to find us, I'm Lucy Rowe Music, W-R-O-E Rowe, and the song's called Heartbeat Wipers. Video is coming out and that'll be everywhere, and this is my friend Philip Kerber.
That's me, yeah.
Honestly, buzzing to be able to do this with you guys this morning. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
The Alpha Sessions with Emma Joyce.